Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, October 9th, 2024. Section A. Council OKs Cedric Benson statue donation by Trevor Hawes. A Midland football legend could be honored with a statue after City Council approved a request to accept the future donation of one, with a tweak to the deal. On Tuesday, council members voted 7-0 to approve former Midland resident John White's proposal to donate a full-size statue of Cedric Benson, the Lee Rebels great whose prowess as a running back led to 3 state championships starting in 1998. In his second attempt to get approval of the future donation, White wants the statue to be housed at Astound Broadband Stadium, inside the Northwest Gate, where most home fans enter the facility. Council amended the item to accept the donation, but with options to place it elsewhere on the grounds of Scarborough Sports Complex, such as the newly conceived Walk of Honor that the Parks and Recreation Commission approved at its September meeting. Midland has a lot of Hall of Famers, Councilman Scott Dufford said. One of the best places to have that is Champions Boulevard. We could literally have a Walk of Fame. Councilman John Norman, who is on the Parks and Recreation Commission, said he thought that was a great idea, adding that it's not that the statue shouldn't be inside the stadium, but he wants options. It's not what White proposed, so what does he think? I think it's great, he told the Reporter Telegram after Tuesday's council meeting. I proposed putting it inside the gate so that it's protected on the site, adding that he can't wait to see what the city comes up with. We've gotten over a major hurdle. That's the important thing, he said. And we deeply appreciate John Norman's effort on all of this. For love and inspiration, the Cedric Benson statue saga so far by Trevor Hawes. John White's dream to have a Cedric Benson statue in Midland is now closer to reality. On Tuesday, the City Council approved accepting a future donation of a life-size homage cast in bronze of the late Lee Rebels great. The process has been a labor of love and inspiration. White, a former Midland resident who now lives in Nacogdoches, first proposed the donation of a Benson statue to the city in November 2022, but council members put the item on hold. Work on the idea started long before. In speaking with the Reporter Telegram this week, White said he was moved by the Beatitudes statues he saw on a trip in Israel and was impressed by how lifelike they were. It's in his nature to facilitate inspiration in others, he said, and he considers Benson inspirational. I've always thought that he was the pinnacle player coming out of Midland, White said, and with good reason. Benson is considered one of the greatest football players in Texas history. He led the Rebels to 3 consecutive state championships from 1998 to 2000. The team notched a 43-3 record at that time, including a 25-game winning streak and a 15-0 finish in 1999. Benson recorded 8,418 career rushing yards, the 3rd most in state history at the time of his graduation. The running back also notched 127 touchdowns, 1 short of the state record. He is the only high school player ever to grace the cover of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Preview magazine. He would go on to play at the University of Texas at Austin and in the NFL. "I'd hate to be a defensive back and try to tackle that guy," White said. A former Rebel football player himself on teams 11 and 12. Benson died August 17, 2019, at 36 years old, from injuries suffered in a motorcycle crash in Austin. White said he wants to have a statue erected at Astound Broadband Stadium. "I want kids to wonder who that was and for them to learn that no matter where they go, they need to aspire to be the best at whatever they do. Before doing any formal proposal planning," White approached Benson's mother, Jacqueline, for her permission. He said she's on board. The sculptor will be J. Payne Lara of Navasota, and the next step is getting more images together to make a 3D model. "The project will be funded entirely from private concerns," White said. "It will cost between $40,000 and $50,000 for a full-size statue." Benson hasn't been White's only effort for greatness to be recognized. He also has made submissions to the Lee Legacy Wall of Fame at Legacy High School. "I like to put people in the spotlight to be recognized," he said. "It's kind of a hobby, and I really like it." Helping families find their forever homes. Seven Questions with Frank Perea by Kesley Salinas. Frank Perea Jr. has been in the mortgage industry for more than 18 years, where he has served as a loan processor, junior underwriter, loan originator, and mortgage broker. Perea's career took him all around the country before he decided to come back to West Texas, where he was born and raised. Now he's focusing on helping West Texans achieve home ownership through his branch of National Security Mortgage Company. The Reporter Telegram recently sat down with Perea to ask him seven questions to learn more about the small business owner. Where are you from? I was born in Fort Stockton and then ended up moving to Pecos, where I graduated from high school. I'm a second-generation Mexican-American, so my parents were born here. I know that our roots go back to Mexico because I did a DNA test that traced us back to Chihuahua, so that was pretty cool to learn about. How did you get into the mortgage industry? I left West Texas at the age of 18 and went to the big city of Dallas. I went to college thinking that I wanted to be in school to learn about computers. My dad told me about an opportunity to be an officer. At the age of 21, I started working full-time as a loan officer for a company in Dallas. What did you like about being a loan officer? I just liked numbers. I liked the paperwork. While I was working at that call center, I learned a lot about mortgage terminology. I learned how to be a mentor because a guy named Jose just took me in under his wing. I like helping customers refinance their mortgages and save money. Just like the business and being able to help individuals and families accomplish the dream of home ownership is a blessing. How do you describe your job as a mortgage lender? When a family or a person comes to the point in their life where they're tired of renting or they want to invest in purchasing a home, they might need a mortgage lender. Most people can't buy a home in cash, so they look for a leader to get them pre-approved for a loan so that they can buy a home. That's what we do. We take your application, run your credit financials, and qualify you. Then we go over all the different loan options with the interest rates, payments, and closing so that you can get out on the market. If you want to make an offer on a house, you can show the seller that you've been pre-approved for a loan so that you can make a contract with the seller and get to the closing tables. What challenges do you face as a lender? The market itself can be a challenge. Interest rates go up and down all the time, and it might be hard for people to qualify. A lot of people don't even want to get into the house market because the rates are too high. What's helped us as a business to keep going is just all our past client referrals. People that we've helped in the past keep referring people to our business. I've been doing it for so long that now the kids of some people I've helped are calling me for loans. What inspired you to open your own branch of National Security Mortgage Company? Being an entrepreneur kind of runs in my blood. My dad and grandpa were entrepreneurs. My dad always instilled in me stuff that entrepreneurs face. He always talked to me about money management and credit management. I remember all the little talks that he had with me that helped me be aware and conscious of how important credit, money management, and investment is. One thing I'm proud of that my wife, Cynthia, and I accomplished is buying our own building. We rented an office location for 10 years, and now we have our own unit. We purchased it and rebuilt it for our needs for a mortgage office. What made you want to come back to West Texas? I've lived in Dallas, Pittsburgh, and Denver. My decision to come back was more personal than anything. Our daughter was born in Denver, and it's beautiful and everything, but we wanted to come back to be close to family. We wanted to raise our children close to their tios, tias, primos, and abuelos. The main reason we came back was to be close to family. West Texas has been good to us, and we are just blessed. Nest Quest. Residents worry about the fate of Texas burrowing owls amid construction. By Kesley Salinas. Texas burrowing owls have found a home in the burrows of a prairie dog town in an empty lot near Front Street and North Adams, but will soon need to find a new one. According to Donna Bell and Mike Hutt, there are about 8 to 10 burrowing owls that have made the abandoned prairie dog town their home. After continuously seeing a food truck park in the same lot that the owls are living in, the couple worked to raise awareness about the birds, reaching out to officials to ensure the safety of the owls. Now the couple's concern is reaching a new level. Construction for a new Dollar Tree will begin soon in the owls' lot, and the duo is worried about the fate of these feathery neighbors. Texas burrowing owl. Michael Nickel, museum scientist at the Sibley Nature Center, said that Texas burrowing owls are unique in that they reside underground. They might not always dig their own burrow, so they like to reside in abandoned prairie dog colonies. Corey Borgman, migratory bird biologist and non-game land bird specialist at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, said that because burrowing owls like living in abandoned quarters of prairie dog colonies, the two animals are often associated together. Nickel added that the burrowing owl is a migratory bird, so they are considered a protected species under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. A protected species doesn't necessarily mean they're endangered, threatened, or vulnerable, Nickel told the Reporter-Telegram. But because the burrowing owl is a migratory species, it does fall under the protection of the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. The Migratory Bird Treaty Act of 1918 was established to ensure the sustainability of populations of all protected migratory bird species, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The treaty protects over 1,000 species in North America. The MBTA protects birds themselves, as well as their eggs, their nests, and any body parts such as feathers and things like that, Borgman said. It's prohibited to kill a burrowing owl directly or remove its nest. If a burrowing owl built a nest and laid eggs in it, the nest would have to remain undisturbed until the birds have fledged. Borgman said that although the Migratory Bird Treaty Act protects birds, eggs, and their nests, it doesn't protect habitats. If the food truck is parking directly on top of the burrow, it could be problematic, Borgman said. I think that it could easily be a conversation explaining to the owners that they don't have to park directly on top because they are protected. She added that it's a situation that could be resolved. Texas Parks and Wildlife has management guidelines that says to conduct its activities at a minimum of 100 feet from the nesting sites, Borgman said. She said that although parking directly on top would lead to people disturbing the ground each time someone walks up to the food truck, if there was a minimum buffer between the truck and the nest, they could coexist in the same lot. With a safe distance, the owls wouldn't be hurt by the foot traffic that the food truck creates. Game warden Philip Bird added that a food truck creates very low disturbances to the burrowing owls. What's next for owls? The Migratory Bird Treaty Act doesn't protect habitats. It only protects the birds, their nests, and their eggs. Donna Bell and Mike Hutt suspected that the owls were protecting a nest and newly laying eggs. But if there aren't any eggs and nests right now, there isn't much that can be done for the owls. It's not nesting season for any bird in Texas at the moment, Bird said. Burrowing owls are federally protected, so there may be some type of permit that the construction company needs to get, but that's not something that the state regulates. Since it is not nesting season, the burrowing owls would just have to find a new habitat. Because natural habitat loss happens due to development, Texas Parks and Wildlife has constructed a guide about how to build artificial den sites in urban areas. Bird said burrowing owls nest anywhere that there's prairie dog town, and that is plenty all over West Texas. The burrowing owls will be able to adapt and find a new home. I assume that when construction begins in earnest, the owls would fly off and find a better habitat for themselves, he said. It's not nesting season, so there's not really a state violation occurring. Basin nonprofits invited to join Citibank's $60,000 giveaway. The Citibank Community Rewards Program was launched in the Permian Basin in 2020 by B.K. Richter. Registration is now open for nonprofits of the Permian Basin to register to participate in the Citibank Community Rewards $60,000 nonprofit giveaway. According to a recent press statement, the grant rewards program gives local nonprofits until October 31st to register. Nonprofit organizations interested in participating can register at city.bank/community rewards. Additionally, submissions received before 9 p.m. October 23rd will be eligible for an early rewards drawing for one of six $500 prizes. Registration for the grant giveaway will be closed at 5 p.m. October 31st. All nonprofits can register in one of six possible categories: basic human needs, health and wellness, youth development and advocacy, education and youth services, community contribution and leadership, and animal welfare and environment. Residents of the Permian Basin will help determine the 30 recipients of the 2024 Community Rewards by voting for their favorite charities. Nonprofits can expect rewards allotted to the top five recipients in each category. First place receives $4,000. Second place is $2,000. Third place garners $1,500. Fourth place lands $1,000, and fifth place gets $500. The top overall vote will receive an additional $3,000. Voting begins November 4th and will continue through December 6th. Rules for the community grant giveaways do state one vote per email address per hour. All voters must be 18 years old or above. Winners will be announced during the second week of December. The Citibank Community Rewards Program was launched in the Permian Basin in 2020 and has awarded $240,000 to more than 60 charitable organizations. West Texas Food Bank aids Asheville after hurricane, by Mella McEwen. Asheville, North Carolina, is about 1,300 miles from West Texas, but West Texans are being called to help North Carolinians affected by the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. The West Texas Food Bank is collecting donations for the MANA Nonprofit Food Bank in Asheville over the next couple of weeks, with a goal of sending at least one 18-wheeler to Asheville. MANA lost everything: food, trucks, the roads are washed out. It's a challenging area to get resources to, and now even more so, said Libby Stevens, Chief Executive Officer of the Food Bank. A satellite location has been procured. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram, she said she has known MANA CEO Claire Neal for a while through their work with the Feeding America Network, which is comprised of 200 food banks. "We all support each other. We have something in common. We want to feed our neighbors," Stephen said. Collection barrels are currently set up at both the food bank's campuses in Midland at 1601 West Cliff Drive and Odessa at 411 South Pagewood Avenue, as well as Odessa City Hall and the First Alert 7, formerly CBS 7 Studios in Music City Mall. Stevens said the food bank will be glad to bring collection barrels to any other business willing to host them and collect the donations. Basic canned goods, from Spam to Beanie Weenies to beef jerky, Pop-Tarts, cereal, oatmeal, Gatorade, Powerade, to other items like baby wipes, hand sanitizer, gloves, paper towels, and duct tape are welcome, she said. "Think of it as if you were going camping, what would you need?" she said, noting that Asheville residents may not have access to electricity, and even if they have generators, may have difficulty accessing fuel to power the generators. Those who would like to donate money can do so on the food bank's website, earmarking the funds for MANA, or do the same on Feeding America's website or on the memo line of a check. John Bushman's company, ICA, has already donated $50,000 to the effort. Stevens said the donation drive will last a couple of weeks to allow MANA to finish getting set up to receive and distribute donations. We as a network are used to dealing with disasters. On the Texas coast, we're used to dealing with hurricanes. For places like Asheville, this is their first time dealing with something like this, said Stevens. With Hurricane Milton bearing down on Florida, Stevens agreed West Texans may be called up again. She said Tampa Bay's food bank has already moved 25 trucks outside of the expected storm surge area and prepared trucks to remove debris and sump pumps to keep water out of the facilities so that as soon as debris is cleared, food bank officials can get to work distributing food and supplies. West Texas is such a giving community. We ride into the storm, said Stevens. Midland warns of toxic blue-green algae at Wadley Barron Park by B.K. Richter. Midland city officials are warning that blue-green algae bloom has been detected at Wadley Barron Park. According to the City of Midland Parks and Recreation Department, the presence of the algae bloom has been confirmed and detected at the park. Blue-green algae can produce toxins that are harmful to both humans and animals. City officials urge the public to take the following precautions. Avoid contact with the water in the affected areas, including swimming and wading. Keep pets away from water to prevent accidental ingestion or exposure. Do not fish in contaminated water, as the toxins can accumulate in fish tissue. Symptoms of exposure to blue-green algae may include skin irritation, nausea, and respiratory issues. Residents are advised to wash thoroughly if they or their pets come into contact with the toxic substance and seek medical attention if symptoms occur. According to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, algae and cyanobacteria, also called blue-green algae, are plant-like organisms that live in water. They can quickly grow out of control or bloom, the CDC says. The CDC advises that harmful algal blooms can look like foam, scum, mats, or paint on the surface of the water. These blooms can also grow underneath the water, making some harmful algal blooms hard to see. City officials are working to address the situation and will continue to provide updates when the water is deemed safe. Midland woman, 66, killed in pedestrian crash on East County Road 135 by B.K. Richter. A collision has claimed the life of a Midland woman on East County Road 135. According to a report by the Texas Department of Public Safety, 66-year-old Bonnie Lou Livingston of Midland was pronounced dead at the scene following a crash that occurred at 7:49 p.m. Monday along East County Road 135. The driver of the vehicle, identified in the report as 64-year-old Nixo Antonio Prieto of Midland, was driving a 2009 Chevrolet Silverado. The preliminary information from the report revealed that the Chevrolet was traveling eastbound on County Road 135 when it struck Livingston, who was crossing the roadway as a pedestrian. This crash remains under investigation, and no further information was available Tuesday afternoon. Within Texas, the month of October was recorded as the deadliest for pedestrians in 2023, with the Texas Department of Transportation reporting 80 pedestrian fatalities in traffic crashes. Life tributes for Wednesday, October 9th. Lawrence Larry Charles Clements. Lawrence Charles Clements, 45, of Midland, passed away Wednesday, October 2nd in Houston following a brief illness. Services will be held privately at a later time. Leary was born July 31st, 1979 in Abilene to Marshall and Lauren Abelson Clements. He married Gwendolyn Wendy Davis in 2019 in Big Spring. Survivors include his wife, Wendy Clements of Midland, one daughter and son-in-law, Haley and Bobby Lloyd of LaPel, Indiana, two grandchildren, a sister and brother-in-law, Becky and T.J. Young of Virginia Beach, Virginia, a nephew and his mother, Lauren Abelson Clements of Midland. He is preceded in death by his father, Marshall Dave Clements, and a grandson. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Midland Memorial Foundation or the Midland College Foundation. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. David Lee Widener. David Lee Widener, at age 91, of Horseshoe Bay, peacefully passed Sunday, September 29th. He was born December 15th, 1932, to Welby and Mary Widener in Lima, Ohio. He married Hallie Ann Wilson in 1955. They were married 69 years and had three sons and one daughter. Surviving him are his wife, Hallie Widener, his sister, Jean Andrews, his sons, Steve Widener and wife, Catherine, Kevin Widener and wife, Pat, Mike Widener and wife, Karen, his daughter, Vicki Cates and husband, Ken, nine grandchildren, and six great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, Welby and Mary Widener. In lieu of flowers, contributions can be made to your favorite charity or to High Sky Children's Ranch, 8613 County Road 60, Midland 79707. David Truitt. David Truitt passed away October 5th. He was born July 23rd, 1952, in Crane, to Norman and Dorothy Truitt. He married Linda Evans in 1973, and their marriage ended in 2006. Three children, Pamela, Kendra, and Diana. Visitation will be from 8 to 10 a.m. Saturday, October 12th at Westside Church of Christ, 4410 West Illinois in Midland. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. at Westside Church of Christ immediately following the visitation with Mike Vestal officiating. Burial will follow that afternoon in Crane at Crane Memorial Cemetery. Services are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. In lieu of flowers, David requested that donations be made in his honor to the charity of one's choice. Jennifer Golden. Jennifer Golden, 47, of Midland, passed away October 5th. The family will receive guests from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, October 9th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, October 10th, at the Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the HEB grocery ads for the week of Wednesday, October 9th through Tuesday, October 15th. This week's big savings. Save up to $1.20 a pound on fresh pork butt country style ribs, bone-in, Texas size pack. Now $1.49 a pound. Fresh boneless pork carnitas, Texas size pack, $1.49 a pound. Fresh Hill Country Fair whole chicken, grade A, 99 cents a pound. Limit 3. Your choice, fresh Hill Country Fair barbecue seasoned chicken leg quarters, Texas size pack, or drumsticks, value pack, 99 cents a pound. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online on HEB premium smoked sausage, 14.25 ounces, assorted varieties. Save up to $3 per pound on fresh HEB wild-caught jumbo Gulf white shrimp, 16 to 25 count per pound. Now $6.97 a pound. Save up to $5 a pound on fresh HEB wild-caught swordfish steaks. Now $12.97 a pound. Produce. Black seedless grapes, $1.27 a pound. Your choice, Taylor Farms salads, 11.62 to 13.5 ounces, assorted varieties, or red dragon fruit, sold by the pound, $2.50. Honeydew melons, 2 for $4. Your choice, zucchini squash or tomatoes on the vine, 97 cents a pound. Buy HEB natural chicken thighs, 4 count, sold hot. Get free with yellow coupon in-store only. Hill Country Fair potato salad, 16 ounces, assorted varieties. Save $2 with yellow coupon in-store or online on Rico's popcorn, 16 or 22 ounces, assorted varieties. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy 2 Betty Crocker Favorites Super Moist Cake Mix, 13.25 to 14.25 ounces, assorted varieties. Must buy 2. Save $1 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy 2 HEB tortilla chips, 11 to 16 ounces, assorted varieties. Cafe au lait by HEB iced coffee, 48 ounces, assorted varieties, 2 for $8 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy 2. Save 75 cents with yellow coupon in-store or online on your choice of HEB twice as soft 12 mega rolls, Hill Country Fair 12 mega or 24 double rolls, or Hill Country Essentials 1,000 sheets bath tissue 12 rolls, assorted varieties. HEB Meal Deal. Save more than $13 in free items with yellow coupons, in-store or online. Buy 2 HEB fully cooked frozen chicken breast, 25 ounces, assorted varieties. Get 4 items free with yellow coupons, in-store or online. HEB Mi Tienda Mayonesa, 11 ounces, assorted varieties. HEB Easy Melt Original Shells and Cheese, 12 ounces, or Deluxe Macaroni and Cheese Dinner, 14 ounces. H-E-B Bakery Brioche Burger Buns, 4 count, and H-E-B Frozen French Fries, 20 to 28 ounces, assorted varieties. Combo Loco. Buy 2 H-E-B Frozen Waffles, 10 count, assorted varieties. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online. H-E-B Frozen Hash Brown Sticks, 22.93 ounces. Save up to $3.98. Buy Bush's Best Black, 15 ounces, or Pinto Beans, 16 ounces. Assorted varieties. And get free with yellow coupon in-store or online. Louisiana Brand Hot Sauce, 6 ounces, assorted varieties. Save up to $1.68. Buy H-E-B Just the Sauce, 9.5 ounce jar, assorted varieties. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online. H-E-B Pasta, 16 ounces, assorted varieties. Save up to $2.58. Buy Hill Country Fair Chicken or Beef Taquitos, 33 count. Get free with yellow coupon, in-store or online. H-E-B Thick and Chunky Salsa, 16 ounces. Assorted varieties. Save up to $1.98. Save $2 off your basket with yellow coupon, in-store or online. When you buy $8 of H-E-B Bakery Breads, Rolls, or Cornbread, assorted sizes and varieties. Excludes pan francés, bolillos, and croissants. Save $3 with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy 2 Meal Simple by H-E-B pot pies, hot or microwavable soups, or salads, or H-E-B deli crackers. 4.4 to 13.1 ounces, assorted varieties. Must buy 2. Buy 2 Café au lait by H-E-B ground or whole bean, 12-ounce bag, or single-serve cup coffee, 12-count box, assorted varieties. And get free with yellow coupon in-store or online. H-E-B Twisters sandwich cookies, 12 ounces, assorted varieties. Save up to $3.98. Buy Ziploc bags, 24 to 48 count, assorted varieties, with a retail value of $6.76 or more. And get free with yellow coupon in-store or online. H-E-B Lone Stars Cheddar Baked Snack Crackers, 6.6 ounces. Save up to $1.98. Save $5 off your basket when you clip digital coupon in My H-E-B app when you buy $25 of baby, bath, wellness, or potty products, assorted sizes and varieties. Limit 1 per household. Save $2 off your basket with yellow coupon in-store or online when you buy $12 of pet toys or bowls, assorted styles and varieties. Excludes Kong items. Buy You by Kotex product, assorted sizes and varieties, with a retail value up to $10. Get free with yellow coupon in-store or online. Kinder Bueno Crispy Chocolate or Kinder Chocolate with Creamy Milky Filling Bars, 4 count. Save up to $2.28. Buy Mars Seasonal Halloween Candy Variety Bag, 41.79 to 77.04 ounces, assorted varieties, and get free with yellow coupon in-store or online. Halloween or Day of the Dead Reusable Small Eco Bag. Save up to $1.50. Save $5 off your basket when you clip digital coupon in My H-E-B app when you buy $25 of Halion products, assorted sizes and varieties. Limit one per household. Save 20% with yellow coupon in-store or online on kitchen and table by HEB non-stick bakeware, assorted sizes and varieties.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, October 10th. Fight over West Texas nuclear waste plan to hit U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to take up a years-long dispute over a plan to ship highly radioactive nuclear waste to rural West Texas, a case that could have sweeping implications for how the nation deals with a growing stockpile of waste generated by nuclear power plants. A company called Interim Storage Partners has long pursued the plan to move high-level nuclear waste from power plants across the nation to an existing nuclear waste storage facility in Andrews County on the Texas-New Mexico border. Last year, in a Texas-led lawsuit, a federal court blocked the plan and threw out Interim Storage Partners' federal license to handle the waste. A federal appeals court upheld the decision earlier this year, but the company and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission urged the Supreme Court to reconsider the ruling. The High Court agreed to take up the case on Friday, October 4th, allotting 1 hour for oral arguments at a later date. The court also consolidated a related challenge from the waste company into the Texas case. For years, this dispute has been percolating in lower courts. The Texas legislature and among potentially impacted rural communities. Texas lawmakers passed a law that effectively banned the nuclear waste plan in 2021, cheered on by Governor Greg Abbott and an unlikely alliance of oil, ranching, and environmental interests. Still, the waste company and the federal government, most recently under the Biden administration, had fought to keep the plan alive. We are confident we have a strong position for the Solicitor General to argue before the court, NRC spokesperson David McIntyre said. The fundamental question now before the Supreme Court is whether federal regulators have the authority to approve plans for privately operated high-level nuclear waste storage sites that are located far away from where the waste is generated. A ruling in the Texas case would almost certainly have implications for a nearly identical proposal just over the state line in New Mexico that's also still being fought over in a lower federal court. While multiple federal courts have now ruled federal law does not allow for the licensing of such facilities, supporters of the Texas and New Mexico plans, including the nuclear energy industry, insist the courts are wrong. The Atomic Energy Act provides a comprehensive framework for regulating nuclear generation and the related fuel cycle, granting the NRC broad authority over both at reactor and away from reactor used fuel storage. Ellen Ginsberg, an advocate and attorney with the trade group Nuclear Energy Institute, said in a statement. Ginsberg said a Supreme Court ruling in favor of Texas would further delay progress in advancing a safe, environmentally sustainable, and well-managed used fuel management system. The West Texas company Fasken Oil and Ranch is among the entities that have fought the nuclear waste plan for years. Monica Perales, an attorney for the firm, said the plan's opponents remain confident in their legal arguments. Oil and gas interests are concerned because it's a threat to our industry. To the people who work in the industry, it's a threat to the Permian Basin, and we're the most productive oil and gas region in the United States, she told Marfa Public Radio. The question of what to do with nuclear waste from power plants, among the most dangerous types of such waste, has vexed U.S. administrations from both political parties for decades. And NPR has reported Congress attempted to solve the quandary in the 1980s, but political roadblocks to finding a permanent home for toxic waste soon developed. The proposed waste facilities in Texas and New Mexico are essentially aimed at stopgap measures to provide a temporary home for the waste, though that could amount to decades, while the U.S. continues its search for a permanent disposal solution. This article originally appeared in the Texas Tribune. Salaries on agenda for council. The Odessa City Council learned Tuesday night that, overall, the city is 11% below where it should be when it comes to employee salaries. Michael Burton and Catherine Thorpe from Gallagher Human Resources and Compensation Practice presented their preliminary compensation study findings to the council during its work session meeting. Additional data will be provided October 28th. Thorpe said the city has 381 different job titles, and when comparing these jobs to jobs in other communities or industries, they made sure the job was at least 80% comparable. Overall, they reached out to 45 organizations, and 28 of them were other government agencies. They also went to some oil and gas companies. We had 3 weeks for them to all provide their responses, and we received 34% response rate, which is actually very high. If we get 25%, that's pretty good from our perspective of response percentages, Thorpe said. Their incentive to do that is they will get a complimentary copy of just the custom survey piece, nothing else specific to this Odessa study. Burton explained they consider a salary to be highly competitive if it's around 5% of the market salary, and a salary is competitive if it's around 10%. Ideally, an organization is better than 50% of their competitors when it comes to salaries, but some cities strive to be better than 75%, Burton said. They found that animal control employees are around 11% below the 50th percentile, but finance is 22% below the market, he said. Some departments you're going pretty well. Purchasing, you're relatively competitive in your water waste collection. If you look at police and fire, the actual fire department, the actual people who climb ladders and put out fires, they're fine, Burton said. Overall, the city is 11% below market, he said, which isn't bad. It's still relatively competitive, but you definitely have some gaps that we need to address, Burton said. Mayor Javier Hovind said that 2 years ago, when the council began going down this rabbit hole, he thought it was a futile effort to do any comparisons because the city's policies and procedures were stuck in the 80s. I thought that we were just throwing money, good money, down the drain because we still had the glaring problem, Hovind said. In addition to creating new classifications, the Gallagher representative said they'll work on a plan to address compression and performance management. In other matters, the council informally agreed to issue a second request for proposals on on-call electrical, HVAC plumbing, general contractor, and landscape services. According to materials provided to the city, an RFP for general contractors went out in July, but no bids were received. Staff discovered the insurance requirements posted a financial burden on small businesses, so adjustments have been made. Director of Risk Management Yvette Griffin believes having contractors on call will save the city time and money by limiting the need for additional meetings, the need to prepare additional RFPs, and the need for place additional legal notices in the Odessa American. During the council's regular meeting, council members voted unanimously to fund five fire inspection positions, a building services maintenance tech, a solid waste worker, two solid waste drivers, an equipment services parts tech, and an equipment services tire tech for a total cost of $761,000. Finance Director Kaylee Banda reminded the council they decided not to include funding in next year's budget for positions that were vacant as of August 9th. We want directors to hire in a strategic manner and in a needs-based way, so part of their duties is to provide a justification for review, Banda said. As a result, the 11 positions she was asking them to fund were approved by Human Resources. The budget manager and city manager, John Beckmeyer, she said. The council members also awarded a contract to WGI to design a new parking garage at Lee Avenue and 3rd Street. Although the exact amount of the contract is yet known, it's expected to be $200,000 to $250,000. Strategic Development and Policy Manager Jeff Fisher told the council a committee settled a WGI because of their qualifications, but also after looking at such things as efficiency and emergency preparedness. We wanted to make sure that there, if there ever was an emergency or catastrophic event, Odessa Police Department cars could get out quickly and efficiently, Fisher said. WGI also said they could design space for micro retail stores and things that could bring an additional revenue, such as bike storage, long-term parking storage, night and evening parking, he said. At a later point, the council will have to decide if they'd like to hire WGI or another company to actually construct the garage. The city council also heard from three citizens during the meeting. Dallas Kennedy criticized the city for placing the call to the public position portion of the meeting to the end of the meeting when it used to be at the beginning. He said it was inconvenient for citizens who might not have the time or inclination to stay for the entire meeting. Precinct Chairman Ronnie Lewis took the council to task for allowing City Manager John Beckmeyer to sign an open-ended contract with TGAA, noting Hoven, Swanner, and Mata have conflicts of interest. Also, Bill Cleaver, who described himself as hotter than fish grease, criticized certain members of council for approving a 3-year contract for Beckmeyer that allows him to be paid out if he leaves the city early, regardless of the circumstances. No city in the great state of Texas has a city manager with a 3-year no-fault contract, Cleaver said. I would also like to know what two people put this on the April agenda and did they pull the terms of the contract agreement out of their Yahoo?
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.